Welcome to The Millennial Wave. This is Rachel Kayleen, entrepreneur and millennial leader. If you aren't familiar with The Millennial Wave, our mission is to be a voice for the millennial generation. So we're constantly collaborating with new guests to help give our audience the guidance and raw knowledge needed to spark ideas and accomplish their goals. Again, if you've been here before, welcome back. If you're new here, thank you for coming on. And if you do get value, all we ask is that you give us a rating and a review to be able to share with us how much you enjoy listening to this podcast. All right, guys, so let's hop into it. Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to the Millennial Wave. I'm Rachel Kayleen, your guys' host. And today it is episode 32 of the podcast. I have Trevor Fong in here with me. If you guys don't already know who this is, well, you're crazy, right? Because he's blowing up right now on Instagram with his new event that's actually going to be happening this Thursday on September 26th.
Yes, you got it right.
Yes, and that's the day that this podcast episode releases. So boom, now it's like a good promotion. But anyway, a little bit about Trevor. He's an entrepreneur. He's a brand new dad. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And he's somebody that has just gone from struggling to really making a name for himself and helping a lot of people in the community, connecting others. And he's a huge networker. I can just see it by when I was looking at his page. And I'm really excited to have him on here just to talk a little bit about his journey, his success, and what he's doing right now. So Trevor, thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to share with you guys like really my journey, what I'm still trying to do, because it's just getting started.
Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah. I can see that too, because you're right now, this is your mix and mingle event that you're having this Thursday. You just had one last month that you said you were hoping for 100 guests.
Yeah, that was the first one. And we had no idea like what to expect. You know, we put tickets up. I kind of just threw it on my Instagram and my Facebook. And then like, you know, like, there'd be like 50 to 100 interested. So we kind of assumed that's what would show up. And then the day before and the day of, it got up to like 416 tickets. And I think we had about 350 show up, all said and done. So more successful than I even wanted it to be. And then, you know, we were able to ride that momentum into this month. And I think we're at 925 tickets as of today. So we'll probably cap out at 1,000. And it'll be a capacity event all night.
Yeah, and it's at the Mix. And I've been to the Mix. And yeah. I can tell you right now, I didn't think ever in my life that they would be able to fit in 1,000 people. I've never seen it look like
that.
People
come and go. People can go stop after work. So I think at any given time, there'll be 500 to 600, which is what we're expecting.
Yeah, no, that's exciting. Yeah. That's really cool. So I want to know what kind of made you get that inspiration to create events like this, networking events.
So 3 years ago or 3.5 years ago, I opened my office, a State Farm insurance office. And I started from scratch when most agents inherit a client base. So my mentor who taught me, like, you have to go out and earn your business. You have to go out and make a name for yourself, because no one's going to really come to you now. Our competitors are all online, so it's harder for us being in a retail setting to get walk-ins. So he taught me early on to, like, go out and get business. We opened the door, talked to some of my friends and family, really wasn't able to do business with them. So I looked up, just like on Google, what are the next mixers? And I think it was Metro Edge, January 2016, I went to my first mixer. I was super nervous. It was like $15 to get in, so I paid. I was committed. And then I got to the door. Like, I looked in. I got really nervous. We left and went to a bar down the street.
Who's we?
Me and my friend. I made someone go with me. Like, I was super scared.
I know how that feels.
It was my employee. I made one of my employees go with me. I was super nervous. So we did a shot of Fireball. And then, like, you know, I'm a lightweight, so it got me a little buzz. And then I went back, like, and we had a good time. Like, we passed out, I think, like, 20, 30 business cards. We collected a lot. It kind of gave me a database or someone to email to reach out to. But I would do that every day for, like, the last 3.5 years. And then I realized, like, you know, like, I kept going to them. I was like, man, it's, like, the same 50, 70 people. You know, the mixers are true mixers where, yeah, you're supposed to talk about business. But if you're just standing there, there's not much to do other than maybe then to grab a drink. So I started to think about how my love of, you know, going to happy hours, going out on weekends, doing things that are engaging, kind of seeing Sacramento with all these events coming up. I thought to myself, how could I do a mixer that integrates things that I enjoy? And then I thought about, you know, let's do it at the place I'm at a lot, which is, you know, Mix downtown. And I said, how can we make guests feel comfortable? How can we make them feel engaged? And, you know, I implemented parts of the nightlife into the mixer. So, like, we have multiple photo booths to take a picture this time. You know, we decorate it up a little bit so people want to put it on their Instagram stories or want to be a part of it. And then, you know, we make sure the guests are all comfortable. Everyone gets a name tag that's printed for them with their company. They can represent their name. So imagine being out like at a bar, but you know everybody. Like, how would you feel?
Yeah.
And by putting the name tags on, it allows people to feel like they know each other because you're open to talk to whoever you want.
Yeah.
So it's just a good chance for business owners or young professionals to come out and meet people.
100%. And that's really cool. And it's interesting that you talk about how you have a love for like going out, happy hours and whatnot, because you're obviously a business owner, you're an entrepreneur, and you can sometimes hear other people's voices saying like, don't go out on the weekends, like hustle, don't like, don't drink, don't like get crazy, don't party. But like you kind of, not that you're embracing it, you're kind of mixing what you enjoy doing and you don't want to take away from that, but you're implementing business into it, which is really cool.
Well, what I wanted to tell you too, I was thinking about this on the way here, like most of my referrals or relationships or deals have come down when I'm sitting with someone at dinner or at a happy hour, just in t-shirt and jeans, and you know, we're building up a relationship. Rarely do my sales or deals happen with me like in a suit in the office, like maybe an appointment or something that was from a referral. But most of my business is built from me just being out with people like this, talking to people, really getting to know them to build their trust and earn their referrals.
Yeah.
So I think that's important, is like, you know, people go out and build relationships outside the office.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah. And it's cool that you're actually building something like this, because I've been there where I've gone to the networking events, or I've even tried to look for networking events in Sacramento, and either they didn't really look appealing or I would go and it would be cool, but then again, it's kind of the same people or it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's exciting that you're building something so big that Sacramento, in my opinion, doesn't have.
Yeah.
Like you're doing something different. There's a need
for it, especially with 100%. The city growing. You know, there's people like you that are young doing things, making things happen. So I think that is really important that we give people a platform or an opportunity to come out and be successful together and collaborate.
Yeah, of course. So that's cool. So you started this event business.
I don't technically have an event business. Like, I'm just doing this my personal branding.
Is it free?
Or it is free. Yeah,
all the events. So you pay for everything.
Well, I don't pay for everything. Like, you can, when you go there, you are responsible for buying your own drinks and food. I have vendors come in, but I don't charge them currently. Like, I'm just bringing them in to provide guest experience. Mm. Like, right now, our priority is just that if a guest comes, they have a great experience. And I know other networking events are ticketed. I'd rather the guests use that money for maybe their first drink at the bar, you know, so that way they can get started and feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So all my events are free. I don't really make money off them. But what I do get is the opportunity to meet other professionals, to build a name for myself, you know, to continue to help people out, which in my business, I found that to be more successful today, I have to help people, you know, like right now, and then tomorrow I'll be more successful.
100%.
So it's just all about giving first, and then it'll come back around to you. I believe in business karma.
Yeah, I know. I was reading that. So yeah, I was definitely stalking your Instagram, and one of the things that I saw was how your story, when you were 16, you were a D student, and you were selling on eBay.
Yeah, I sold shoes on eBay. Like, I was into shoes. I still am into shoes, but, like you know, it was different back then. Like, you could buy and sell Jordans and make, you know, $100, and it was cool in high school because that's how we, like, got our clothes and stuff.
Yeah. And then, as, like, fast forward, you had went to school. Mm-hmm. You were working a few different types of jobs. And then at 25, you got rejected to be a manager at AT&T?
Yeah, I worked retail for 10 years. And, like, I applied. It didn't go so well. Like, they got me on some of my accessory sales numbers and, like, really dejected or, like, made me feel like giving up. But, you know, I stuck with it because I always believed I'd do something bigger. I believed I could make six figures. Like, at that time, I was always making, like, $12 an hour. So eventually, like, I did get promoted, but I went through a bad breakup in 2014 that left me, like, really, like, depressed, and that was really tough for me. And then, like, at that point, like, after a couple weeks, like, I just told myself, like, I'm going to build a business. Like, it's my passion to open a bar, you know, maybe do something professional. I didn't know about State Farm at the time. They recruited me on LinkedIn, and they connected me with my then mentor, who has since retired. But you know, the LinkedIn opportunity, the depression, all that stuff together, you know, got me out of my funk and made me, like, focus on business. So it was the depression and just being ready for change.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I saw that you did open up your sports bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, at 28.
Yeah.
You saved up $50,000.
Yeah. I had the money, luckily, to save it, you know, because I was very good about, I basically lived at home, like, after college. Like, I couldn't afford my own place. And you know, I was able to save up a lot of money. You know, my parents took good care of me, so I was in a position to either buy a new car or start the bar. So rather than get the car I wanted, I literally bought the bar with my business partner who owns Blue Q currently. Mm. And then that was a really good experience.
Really? Yeah. How long? So I'm assuming you don't own it anymore?
I don't. I sold out of it like after I had my first child. And then I was able to focus more just on my State Farm office. It was just really hard doing the bar and the State Farm business because I would be like 9 to 5. And then like at the bar at night, it was just like too much when I wanted to be home with the family. And plus I was like prime networking hours.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So then you got involved in State Farm. Did you always know that you wanted to be successful, like when you were younger and kind of going through what you were dealing with and working retail? Did you know like, oh, I want to be successful. I want to be a business owner. I want to make six figures.
Well, you know what it was is I'd never, like all my friends were super smart. Like all my friends became lawyers or like were A students. And being the D student, you kind of feel like if you're not smart, like you're not doing it or you're not going to be successful. So I think at some point I realized like to be successful, you have to be in a position to help people. And to me, it wasn't a state job or working with someone. It was just really like working for myself and building for myself.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the thing.
And when you got involved in State Farm, how was that experience for you? Now you've been doing it for what, 3 years?
Almost 4 years.
4 years.
It was really good because it was professional. It is professional. Like people have a need for it. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm selling products that people don't need. Like we do cars, homes, everything. But now it's just a matter of getting our name out there so people are aware of what I do.
Yeah, of course. That's amazing. And so you started as an agent and then you bought into the agency.
Yeah.
So you have your own agency now. When did you do that?
I started as the owner from day one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I never...
People do that?
Yeah.
People, like a lot of people do that or you just do that?
No, I did that. Everyone does that. Like you have the ability to work for an agent, but then you're their employee. Like with State Farm, you have the ability to interview and apply for an office location where you're the 1099, the business owner, and then you hire your own staff and they help you out.
That's pretty cool. I didn't even know that you could do that.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. So you immediately bought into the agency and you didn't have any experience selling anything like that, correct?
Yeah, I just did it. And that's why I think we were struggling so much. Like that's what I think made me want to go out and network was like, you know, when you open, you don't know what you're doing. It's not like you have products or like I had customers to service. So like my whole job was to go out and meet people and network and then just figure it out day by day.
Yeah.
And I probably didn't get good to like a year in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And you owned it the whole time. Did you ever have any like times of struggle where you're like, dang, I don't know if we're going to make it?
No, I just probably my first 6 months. I didn't think I was gonna, I was almost $100,000 in debt my first 6 months.
From State Farm or just from really?
Like, cause we didn't have any business. So, you know, each month I would have like $13,000 worth of bills, but then I would only get, you know, like $2,000 of income. Mm-hmm. So I was negative for like 6 months. And that was really like the biggest challenge was like trying to stay afloat. But then after like a year, it got good.
Yeah.
So first 6 months were tough, but I had a 5-year lease, so there was no giving up anyway.
Yeah, of course.
Like there was no turning back. Like the money was either going to be there or it wasn't. But I knew every month I worked, the paychecks would go up because I'd help more customers or more clients.
Yeah.
So eventually I got there, but it was super tough.
So when you're building relationships with people and you're going out and you're meeting new people, what are some of the things that like if someone is listening to this and they're in sales or they're doing something similar, what would you say to them like the most important thing about building a relationship with someone new and with you have the intention of hopefully getting their business in the long term, but at the same time you're just trying to build a relationship and get them to trust you? What are some things that you've learned that have been really helpful?
I think being genuine, like being honest with people, like opening up to them. Not, you know, you don't have to tell everyone everything, but they should get to know who you are as a person, like things that you like, things that you want to do. I've always thought of networking like dating. Like you have to like build connections and be open and honest and talk about your goals and dreams, but also listen and support theirs. And then when you go out and you meet people like at these networking events and you start to have similar goals or interests, you naturally form alliances, partnerships, referral systems, and then indirectly you get new friends and meet people and expand your social circle. So I think that, you know, when I talk to people about what I'm doing, it's just meeting people, you know, letting them know what you like to do, inviting them to places you like to go. Back to the mix and mingle, it started because I used to like to take my referral partners out there to just hang out. It was kind of nice to bring new people there, to grab a drink with them and really talk outside of the office.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what happened.
100%. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. Like, you're always out there meeting new people, building relationships. And I feel like so many people want to, because at the end of the day, what do they say? It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Exactly.
I mean, you got to know your shit, but you also need to have the right people back, you know, in your corner. And I think it's incredible that you really are, like, the networker, you know what I mean? Like, that's pretty cool. So besides the Mix and Mingle and State Farm, like, what are some of the things that you learn, like, within your business experience with the sports bar? Like, you, that's, the, but first of all, they're both brick and mortar. They were both, like, in person.
Retail shopping centers.
So what exactly, like, that was your first ever business. Like, you just went, like, balls deep in the sports bar, but you had a partner.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is some of the different learning experiences that you got from that?
The bars are tougher than it looks. Like, you would think the money's great and the alcohol sales are good, and, you know, but there's so many headaches that come with it, from, like, the way you serve customers to the ABC liquor license, like, even applying for it and transferring it was like a pain. So I think the biggest challenge is in a bar, like, you know, understanding what you're going to be dealing with. And it's not a normal 9-to-5. It's like all the problems happen at midnight. There's fights, you know, there's things that break all the time. But I did learn that in any business, you have to put a lot of work and be into it. So, like, you know, the fact that I enjoy going to bars doesn't mean I'm necessarily the best owner, because, you know, I'd rather patronize it than deal with the problems. And that's what I think people have to understand, is, like, when you're the owner of something, you have to nurture it and deal with the problems and fix it. Where, like, when you're the guest, you just have to enjoy it. So I think the business owner mindset is, like, you have to really understand that responsibility comes with it.
Yeah, and you would never do it again?
I think I would, but not right now.
Okay, got it. I think that's important, though. Like, you're, one of the important things about business, too, is being honest with yourself. Like, knowing what you're good at and knowing what you're not good at, or what you're willing to get good at.
Correct.
Like, the fact that you said, oh, just because I enjoy going to bars doesn't mean, like, that means I'm the best owner. Like, doesn't mean that you aren't, but, like, the fact that you're honest and you take the time to be able to be aware of how you're acting and kind of what you're doing. So, I mean, that was your first ever, like, real business that you had bought into,
like,
correct?
Yeah, like, we had to pay rent and actually, like, have employees.
Yeah, and you went from working in retail to owning a bar like that. Like, what were people around you? Like, did anyone kind of question you? Like, what the hell are you doing?
It looked cool, and that's what encouraged me to do it. Is everyone's like, yeah, that's so cool. Like, go for it. Like, they were actually supportive, and they wanted to, like, understand what I was doing. But then when I got in there, I definitely, like, kind of got a little awakening. Like, this is more difficult than it looks. But a lot of the successes I think I have today were lessons I learned from my previous experiences. Like, you know, even though I worked just retail, I still learned how to open and close the office, like, you know, the store. Mm-hmm. I learned how to treat employees, how to coach and manage them. So a lot of the experiences I have from retail did carry over. It's just that you kind of learn as you go too.
Yeah.
I've always been one to do it and figure it out later. I rarely like to, you know, like, learn the right way and, like, put the training wheels on. Like, I'd rather just do it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then, like, figure it out as I go. But that's, I think, important lessons, making mistakes and just practicing your craft, your business. So I'm always trying to get better, but I'm still learning as I go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything's trial and error. Like, even the marketing stuff for the mixer, like, I don't know what works and what doesn't. I'm just doing it and taking notes to see what sticks, and each mixer I'll get more concentrated.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the plan.
And even though you don't have a sports bar anymore, I can tell you obviously you have a lot on your plate. Like, you have the event, and then you have other events besides this event that you were just talking about, and then you have more events that you want to plan, and then you have your agency.
Yeah.
So what type of team does that include? Like, not just the agency, I'm talking about outside of it, like, creating the event. Like, is it just you? Because you were showing me some of the different flyers and, like, things that you're doing. I'm like, do you have help?
Right now, I've been acting like as a solo marketing guy. Like, like, most of the ideas you've seen, I've come up with by myself, but with the support of, you know, the owners of the venue or their managers, they definitely have stepped up and given me ideas. But for right now, just because I've done so few, I like to have a lot of control over it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's funny you asked me that, because yesterday we were just messaging people. Between now and the end of the year, like, I thought about putting together, like, a volunteer committee, so who can give me ideas and kind of see behind the scenes how it works. And then as we head into 2020, if this became a business venture, something outside of my office, we could sit down and talk about how that would work. But for right now, I've just kind of run it by myself, so I have control over it. So that way there's not a lot of pushback, but I am making a lot of mistakes. Like, you know, I've put money into social media thinking I'm going to get a return on it, and it's just more branding than it is actual signups.
Yeah.
The signups have been, I would say, 99% word of mouth or invites, right? Like invites to my friends or my friends inviting their friends. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have learned a lot, but I've been running it by myself. And as we head into the end of this year, next year, I'm hoping to put together a team to help support me so we can do more events. And I have 20 on the calendar already for the next 12 months. And we're going to integrate dinners and more private events, but also bigger mixers too. Yeah. So hopefully I can get into Golden One Center in January and June. Mm-hmm. So that's on the horizon.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Really doing big things, like insane. And speaking of leadership, that's one of the things that we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the important things to you when it comes to leading a team, treating people the right way, and being more of being a boss, but also being a friend and not letting them commingle in a way too much, like where it's like people get so comfortable that they can treat you anyway, but then at the same time you don't want them to get too comfortable because they still need to do their job. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge for anybody, right? Is like it's hard to do business with your friends or like they always say never do business with family or never loan family money, right? Because it tears people apart. And I think it's personality. You have to integrate that early on. Like if you're gonna be business partners with your friends, you have to set boundaries, expectations. Like when I did the sports bar, I luckily had my friend who's an attorney help me draft up like an agreement, an operating agreement, and we put that into the LLC when we filed it, and that was like our operating agreement between us business partners. Mm-hmm. Like we agreed early on we're 50-50, like we both have to say yes and no to things, otherwise it's just a split decision. So like I think as a business owner and as a manager or leader, like all those things, you have to establish what the boundaries are. And then you really have to follow up on it and make that an understanding. Because like for a lot of like my staff, they are my friends. And they have to know at the end of the day, like when we're in the office 9 to 5, we have to get work done. Like we'll have fun, but we do have to take care of the customers first. If I ask them to do something, it just needs to get done. It's always for their benefit or the customer or the business benefit. But then outside the office, you know, we can have a friendship. We can talk openly. And that open communication is actually really healthy to any relationship or friendship or partnership.
Yeah.
So I think it's just about consistent communication. And those are things that I'm even trying to work on in my current life is communicate more, you know, talk to people more, open up more, and make sure people understand what you're going through, where you're trying to get. So you guys kind of align your kind of like relationship or vision together.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
100%. Yeah. And regarding like building a long-term business, you have the lease at State Farm for 5 years. It's going into your fourth year. What are you going to do when 5 years hit?
Well, I have the option to re-sign the lease. Okay. So that's like the business decision is like, do you sign a new lease? Do you sign a longer lease? Are you happy where you are? Or do I maybe reconsider moving? I'd love to relocate downtown. I spend most of my week here. It's nice that when we get referrals, when people ask where my office is, rather than, you know, saying South Sac and Pocket, I can say it's just downtown Sacramento.
Yeah.
So long term, I think I'd like to move out to downtown if that's possible. You know, I need to work with, you know, my team and my staff to make sure that's realistic. But I do want to relocate eventually. So part of being a brick and mortar business owner is understanding that the rent, the taxes you got to pay, the insurance. Like coming into places like this is cool because you can work in a spot but not deal with all the responsibility.
Exactly.
Like when you sign a real lease, that's like 5 years. It's scary when you look at it sometimes because like you'll flip through the contract and it says like, okay, you owe $100,000 over 5 years. And then it becomes very like intimidating. But you know, when you do it, you feel good because you're motivated. It's like having a child or a friend that's counting on you. So I remember the first time I signed that lease and I had never done insurance. You know, the bar was still a struggle and a learning experience. But I remember looking at the lease and it was like the last page shows like the summary of payments and it would have been like $98,000 over the 5 years.
Yeah.
And I was like really nervous because like I was personally guaranteeing it that I could pay that. So had I not made it in business, had anything happened, I would have been responsible for that.
Yeah.
So you look at the contract, but then you think to yourself like, okay, if I don't sign this, then I'm not going to start my business. These employees that are waiting on me to sign it are not going to have jobs. You know, my family's not going to have the opportunity I want because I'm doing the business ultimately to provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually your fears go away when you really look at what you really are losing, and it's the experience, the opportunity. So now more in life, I'm thinking like I need to take more risk. I need to put myself out there. So the lease, those things are part of business, but you can't let it scare you. You have to like go out and really tackle it and just use it as motivation.
Yeah, and I think it's cool how basically you were in retail for 10 years and now you're in the insurance industry.
Yeah.
So How does someone make that decision? Like, you were in retail and now you're in insurance. You obviously didn't know you wanted to go into insurance when you were in retail, right? So when someone's like kind of trying to figure out what they want, maybe they're stuck in a job that they don't like and they want to start their own business. How exactly, I know you came across it on LinkedIn, but how does someone make that decision? How did you know, I want to do this, this is like my vehicle, or not just go and try something else?
I don't think you ever know. Like, I don't think I was sitting there and like insurance was in my mind even planted. I think what happened was that, you know, you kind of get shoulder tapped for opportunity, right? Like, it's a referral for a job. So think about what you love doing. Like, you know, if I had an opportunity to come up where you could interview someone or do something like this, I probably would think of you now, right? So you have to like make sure that when you meet other professionals or other people, they know what you're about. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to tell them what your goals are, so that way when they see an opportunity, they recommend you. So that's like the referral system. And then I think the second part of that is like LinkedIn has been amazing for me in connecting with professionals. So if you're not on LinkedIn or you're not using it, it's a free service. It's like Facebook, but it'll get you connected to other professionals. There's a lot of recruiters on there that are using that as the main platform, not Facebook. So I would say using LinkedIn and then meeting people every day and telling them what you like to do. Mm-hmm. And eventually those opportunities will come to you. Because they found me. Like, I didn't look them up at all.
Yeah. Wow. I like that. So LinkedIn and then going out there and meeting people. And I can definitely attest to that, because when I got settled, and I went to 5 different high schools. So when I finally got settled at my last one for the last 2 years of high school, all the opportunities started to arise because I was able to actually kind of put what I was about out there. And then I started meeting coaches and then people that were parents that were putting on volunteer events, and then they saw my love for people. And like, that's just my personal experience. But at the same time, it's like, if you enjoy doing things and you're putting yourself out there and you're trying to get involved, you're going to meet the right people, you're going to get the right opportunities, and you're going to be able to do what you enjoy. And that brings me to another thing, is when you do have a lot on your plate, but you're balancing it very well. You're
trying, at least it looks like it, for sure.
But how do you not, because you know a lot of people, number one, but how do you not take, how do you kind of filter out opportunities? Because I'm sure people come to you all the time talking about different things.
Yeah, now, so I used to say yes to everything because I could handle it. Like early on in your business, you just have time. You can and you want to do business with everyone because you're trying to make a name for yourself and establish yourself. Now, you know, 3 years in, I don't have time to meet with everyone I want to meet with. Yeah. Like, I do have to, I get really good at scheduling lunches on my calendar. And like, if people want to meet, I try to like put it out a week or two and be proactive about filling my calendar. But that's a good problem to have, because then you always have a deal or a business to work for, work on. So I think it's just a matter of trying to still say yes to everything, but scheduling it out so you're just, your calendar is always full. I have had to tell people like, I'm busy right now, but I always make sure to come back around and get time on their calendar or my calendar.
Yeah. And your philosophies are just so interesting, because it like kind of goes against other like other mindsets. Does that make sense? Like, so you're putting together events that are like embracing social life and going out and having a good time. And then you're also talking about going and meeting with people in person. And like, when most people would be like, just watch this or do this, you know, and like, being like time efficient, but I feel like your love for building relationships is just so heavy, and it's such a good quality that I feel like most people now with social media and like the way that things are, they're not focused on that as much. So like, what you're doing with your event and with meeting people and scheduling and caring, I think that's so important. It really brings it back, like, that people are what make business.
Yeah, like, I kind of look at, like, you know, when you go shopping, like I go to Walmart and you look at the self-checkouts, or Target has it, and you go to like a lot of grocery stores, and then, you know, I still go to shop at Nugget and they only have, you know, someone has to ring you up. So I kind of like that personal service still. I think that's me probably being the generation I am. Like, I'm right on the border of technology, but still, you know, in-person visits. Cause like when I pay my rent, I still write a paper check.
Interesting.
So like, I still write a lot of checks. Like, and I like to sign it and fill it, cause it makes you feel connected to your business. You know, part of the good thing about social media is you can meet people or connect people you never would have seen in a million years otherwise. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, whether it be through tagging people or different opportunity. But at the end of the day, it's like, I've had so many people that do follow me, and like, we'll recognize each other, but we don't have anything to talk about when we see each other, because we don't really know what's going on except for what we've posted. Mm-hmm. But the people that I've sat down with for lunch or sushi or a happy hour, like, I'm more connected and integrated with them. So I think those things are important to build the relationships, because that's what's going to be sustainable long-term in business.
Yeah.
The Instagram, the Facebook, the social media, I think it just complements what we're doing. But that's, like, today. Like, who's to say that Instagram won't go away and, you know, TikTok is the next big thing? Because that's kind of, like, what everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
So I remember MySpace was popular. It fell off. Facebook was popular, fell off, and now it's kind of Instagram.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to keep chasing the next hot thing or the next thing. I want to, like, you know, be a part of changing that and doing what's right. So I think that's the challenge, is building relationships but not falling in love, just doing it on social media.
Absolutely. Yeah. And regarding, like, all these lunches and everything that you do, do you reach out to these people? Like, do you take the time to reach out to them and be like, hey, I want to meet with you? But how do you decipher, like, who you want to meet with? Like, you know, just like, say, like, oh, I want this connection.
Yeah, like, you use Instagram and social media like an opportunity, like, you're looking for a business partner. And you start to look at, like, what are they about? What are they doing? So, like, when I've met some of my friends, you know, if they're in the same industry or in industries that we're looking for, like, you know, like, we're looking for a lot of home insurance. So we'll look at real estate agents and lenders as probably the best opportunity. So I do kind of focus, mainly on them. But I also want business owners. So, like, I'll look at the titles, because generally when you go on Facebook, it's pretty obvious what people do. Rarely is it hidden.
Yeah.
So, you know, just kind of look and see what they're doing. Like, you'll look at people's pages if they have, like, if they're going to concerts you like, or they're eating at places you like. Like, if you see someone, like, if I see someone eating a lot of sushi and they're in my industry, I may want to actually meet with them to build a partnership or an alliance.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of, like, filter. And I guess it is kind of like networking is kind of like dating.
Absolutely.
It's just like relationship building, common interests, getting to know each other, opening up, building trust, friendships, you know, so all that stuff, I treat it the same way. I treat, you know, my networking like dating in terms of, you know, how you develop relationships.
Yeah. And then it's interesting because I'm curious to know what the long term, I mean, some people have it all planned out, and then some are just kind of like, how, when you started the agency, you just were like, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to go in.
I didn't know what I was going to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So how do you kind of, you obviously, you talked about making time for the people to sit down with, build a relationship with, network with new people, but, and that's what you don't always say yes to, but you try your best. What about other business opportunities, like things that you don't know that you want to do yet, but they will come around sooner or later? How do you kind of figure out what fits into your vision, or how do you even decide what you want your vision to be, if that makes sense, like long-term vision?
I think those are two separate things. I think the opportunities may reshape your vision. Like if someone came to me and offered me like a lot of money to go do something for them and it made sense, like in terms of my marketing branding, maybe I'd consider it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, I try to stay true to what my vision is today, which is to grow my office and make a name for myself. So it's almost like you're always looking and keeping an eye open, but you're trying to build what you have today.
Yeah.
And sometimes that mindset of building what's in front of you, but thinking long-term will open up opportunities. I think you have to look at every opportunity. I think even if you're happy with what you're doing and someone says like, hey, here's a better opportunity. Maybe it pays more. Maybe it offers more flexibility. By looking at the opportunity, you'll gather ideas about how you're doing business today. So it's either going to present you a better opportunity or it's going to reassure you you're in the right lane. So I think that everyone that gets presented opportunities, you should at least look and consider it, whether it be a minute of your time or a few hours. It will definitely help you reshape your business plan and what you're trying to do.
Absolutely.
So I support that.
Again, your mindset is just crazy, like in a good way,
Like, I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do. Like,
no, I love
this.
It.
Like,
I love it because there's so many people that are like, stay focused, blinders on. Patrick Bedavid is always like, stick to one thing for 10 years. Like, and then it's like, if other opportunities come around and they may be better and a better opportunity, they may help you and they may even be able to help the people around you. Why wouldn't you take it on? Why wouldn't you do something like that? So I agree with that 100%. I definitely like where your head's at, because it you kind of are like, you're scratching the surface, but I feel like you deserve a lot more credit. Like, you're very humble.
I think, I'm just trying to, still build a name for myself. Like, I'm still starting out. I feel like I'm 2% into the 100% goal, right?
Yeah.
And I think that I've never been a good student. I've never been, you know, a normal person, I think, in the context of what society tells me is normal, right? Like, my parents wanted me to get a state job. I didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd start to think, like, the advice people give is never for everybody. Like,
exactly.
What I'm saying right now may not help someone who's has no interest in becoming a business owner or entrepreneur, but it's like, where do we fit in? Like, where do the misfits or the people that don't dream the same fit in? And I think it's like, have influence on society, but not do things that are we're like, you know, people, we're, I'm told all the day, like, not to do certain things.
Yeah.
And I don't always agree with it. Like, I feel like what I'm doing is good for my business, or what I'm doing is good for my name. So, like, I try to trust my process, and I try to trust my judgment. But it's like, I've always felt like everything I've done will benefit me later. And that's how I've operated.
Yeah.
Although I don't read a lot of books, but I've read like things that tell you to do this and that. It's not that like I see where they're coming from based on their life experience or their philosophies. I do agree that if you're going to be good at something, you should focus on just that. Like, you shouldn't have 30 businesses going until, you know, each one's established.
Yeah.
But you have to balance like learning, experiencing life, but then getting what you need to done.
Yeah.
So like, you know, my day job is my State Farm office. Like, I'm there 9 to 5. Like, I work that every day. I'm always thinking about that. That is my priority. And then indirectly, I'm building up, you know, the mixers and the other events to complement what I'm doing in my office.
Yeah.
So it That's drives great. People in, like, looking, asking what I do. They want to meet. And then eventually I can tell them, like, oh, if you buy a house or start a business, maybe I can do insurance for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll want to do business with me. But, you know, I think that society tells us to do one thing. And I think now we live in an age where we're free to do whatever we want,
exactly.
Especially with technology. So, like, you have to take advantage of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Very nice. I love it. Tons of value. So go ahead and tell these people where they can find you.
They can find me. Well, they can find me this week at the Mix, mm-hmm. Thursday, 9:26, from 5 to 8. And then my office is in Greenhaven Pocket area. But if you look me up at Trevor Fong on Instagram or trevorfong.com, I actually post my cell phone on all my stuff for a reason.
Okay, cool.
Like, I want people to be able to text me, reach out to me. And I've never
Have you ever had any weirdos?
Oh yeah, always. Yeah, yeah, always. But I love them. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, everyone I'll give the time of day to.
Yeah.
And then it's a matter of to earn the friendship and the partnership on stuff. It's like there has to be a consistent vision or a common vision, common goal.
Of course.
So, but I'm available to anyone. Like, if they ever want to talk about business or network or, you know, do anything outside of their normal day job, like, I'm always there to help them connect with new people and have fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then last question, I always like to ask somebody this at the very, very end, but is there any opportunity, like, with anything that you're doing, any type of venture, for people to be able, they can reach out to you, but work with you or kind of have you in their back pocket if they need advice or like mentorship? Like, do you get what I'm saying? So do you have any opportunities where people are able to actually work with you side by side, or is there...
I personally will be hiring for my office in October, and I'll probably post that on social media in the next week or two. I'm going to be looking for help for these events. If someone wants to volunteer and do like committee work, just so they can see what goes into it and gain that experience for their resume.
Yeah.
That'll be the second piece. And then I'm always like down to mentor people, because like anytime I've needed help, people have answered their phones and given me advice. So you have to pay it forward.
Absolutely.
So all three of those things, I have opportunity in my office. I'm down to network and meet people and give them advice. And then, you know, I'd love to like have people come to my events and see what we're all about.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. Thank you again for being on episode 32.
No problem. Thank you.